Welcome to Brushstrokes of Being podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and have conversations with people in the arts. I am Karin Merix, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, cultural philosopher, teacher, and mentor. Art is not what you see, but what you make others see. Welcome to Brushstrokes of Being, episode 109. And today I have something really special and never done before. I sit with three exceptional artists and an exceptional curator of the equine art at the table. I have Karen Osborne from Australia. I have Mireille Vegers from my country, the Netherlands. I have Tony O'Connor. I think Irish, is that correct, Tony?
Very, very much so, yes. Yeah.
And last but certainly not least, Joyce ter Horst, who brought us together and who is behind Paard Verzameld Equinart Services. So, welcome. What a joy to meet you all. And do any of you know who said the quote I started with?
No, I'm sorry.
Karen?
I do.
Tell me, Tony.
Degas.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I have seen your art online, and I must say it's stunning. And seeing is, continuing the quote, is most important things for artists to learn to make others see, right? So can each of you tell our listeners what it took you to get to that point, which obviously is showing through in your art. Tony, could you enlighten us?
Well, it took a lot of hard work and practice every day. That's the most important thing, I think, as an artist, is practice and hard work and learning every day to be able to get to a point that you can create something that what you want to express, but what others see in it, might be what you want to express as well, but they also get a sense of whatever they want to see in it. We're not just painting pretty pictures of horses. We're actually putting emotion and trying to get that essence of a horse into a piece. Our vision might be entirely different to what they see, but they're still getting that sense of it. So I think hard work is the number one thing that I would say what it took to do that, and an understanding obviously and of horses and the usual anatomy and proportions and color theory, and but that's all the arty stuff, but mm-hmm. it's hard work and patience, a lot of patience as well.
Patience. And I read you have a background, you come from a family of blacksmiths.
Yes,
right? You have a very close connection.
Yes, I grew up in a forge in the 80s when things were cool. Like, you know, like I was much, much, much younger. but it was fun. But my granduncle raised me in the forge. So I grew up with all the local horses and donkeys. So that's where my whole love of horses comes from. And I'm the only one in the family now still working with horses. So.
Oh, okay.
Carrying on the tradition. Slightly cleaner than being a blacksmith. Slightly.
Yeah, exactly. Because in the studio, it's not always...
My studio is a bomb site, 100% bomb site.
So. Yeah, and Karen, you have a very special background. I was really taken with that. Can you tell me, answer that question? What did it take you to get to where you are now?
Thank you. Well, I agree with Tony. I think a lot of work and a lot of, learning the trade, I guess, learning your techniques, learning your skills so that you are able to put onto the canvas what you're feeling. And then for me, you know, I'm very lucky. I live with my horses, so they're literally out my back door. And I feel like I try to put down what they want, you know. And it's that observation and living with them every day. So, I go down and I just catch the light falling on them a certain way, or catch a glimpse of an action or something. and their emotions and how they live together in a herd. You know, mm-hmm. I'm really a visitor into their space and they let me in, which is lovely. But, you know, they live their whole day 24/7 together being horses and doing their things. So I like to, my purpose, I think, or what I want to do is to be able to take that onto the canvas for or onto the paper for the audience to be able to see some of that, what it's like for horse living in a herd.
Yeah, and I saw you said I want to paint what they want to, and I saw a beautiful picture where you sit and the horse is literally looking on your paper in front of you. And there is such a strong intuitive connection there. It's like he's really checking, like, okay, yeah, okay, I agree with that.
Yeah, they're very really busy. They supervise me constantly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. And Mireille, how is that for you?
Well, for me, I didn't. No one in my family has any interest in horses except a few nieces who rode horses, but I was the only one, really. And apparently, according to my mom, she strapped me into the stroller every time they passed the meadow with horses in it, which I have no recollection of. And I've been just drawing horses ever since I can remember. It's just my kind of my first drawing memory. So I think for me, it started with just admiring, a lot mm-hmm. of admiration just for the being and just what they look like. And it's kind of a unspoken magic or something. I don't want to make it really weird, but it's something that you have this fascination, and that fascination drove me to just keep on drawing them. And because I was keep on drawing the horses, I got into graphic design and into drawing, and I got into graphical work. But then I always missed drawing and painting horses, and it just keep doing that like on the side. And for me, it just kind of developed out of really wanted to express what I find so fascinating and beautiful about them. So basically, that's what I'm constantly trying to paint, is my huge fascination and love and admiration for the horses. And I don't live with horses. My horses are here. And but I did ride horses for a long time. And for me, I started to study them while riding, but also connecting like touch with what I'm seeing. So I can actually, when I paint, feel like what the skin feels like and hair feels like. And that trying to get that across, that feeling. And yeah, if anything else, it's just agreeing with Karen and with Tony. You just have to keep at it. And because you are so driven that you want to convey your love and your passion and that what you want to show, you just keep on going. You just keep at it. Yeah. And because of, I just want to show how I see them and how I feel about them. And then, like Tony said, somehow that comes across to the public. And even though they create their own stories and their own, how do you say, a connection with the painting, they have a different vision than you are. You have. Sometimes people apologize, like, I see it like this, this and that. They said there's no apology needed because I just paint how I feel about it. But it doesn't, you know, tell you how you should feel about it. I'm just trying to convey how I feel about it. And then somehow that gets across. So,
yeah, wonderful, wonderful stories. And I can resonate with it, although I do not paint horses, but people. But I can resonate with what you say. You can feel the skin because you know how the hair feels. Karen, I feel what they think and I paint what they want me to do. That is a very deep thing when you paint, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's something that really is. I decided a long time ago that you that's a small part of the, how do you say that? It's the thing that you don't want to explain because you don't want to lose that. It has magic. Something, yeah, it has something magical. And you don't really want to explain or make it logical, or it's something that happens and you need to keep that mystery. And you don't want to over explain what is happening. You just want to let it happen.
Yeah. And that leads to a nice question, because apart from all the technique, all the patience, all the anatomy, the knowing your materials, can each of you identify as the artistic horse whisperer? That's how I call it. Meaning that when you paint a horse, do you get that profound sense of her or his intuition and the better mutual understanding to capture that specific story or that specific personality of the animal that you paint? Karen?
Yeah, I think for me that's a very important part of why I paint. And why I paint horses. So I really see horses as a sentient being, and they certainly have their way of communicating to me. So when I approach an artwork, during the painting, I'm asking myself the question all the time, is this why I started? You know, what am I trying to express here? Have I strayed from it? Is this staying true to what I started out with? It's not just a pretty picture. I'm aiming to capture some sort of frequency or some sort of vibration or a personality of that horse. And if it doesn't, you know, halfway through, I'll abandon the painting and I'll start again. You know, it has to leave me at the end with that sense of I've accomplished that. On the canvas, and I'm sure Mirella and Tony would feel the same way. It's like this, I have to look at it and think, yes, I've done what I set out to do.
Yeah. How's that for you, Tony?
Yeah, I totally agree with Karen regarding horses being a sentient being. And I think there's this whole collective consciousness that horses have brought, because man or woman we wouldn't be where we were if it wasn't for horses. Mm-hmm. And we treated them so badly for thousands of for the last couple of hundred years, certainly anyway. And I think for me personally in my own work, it's that sense of emotion that you want to bring in, that when people see it, they either see that powerfulness or that nobility of a horse, or more often not, that overpowering sense of sadness that you can feel. So some people have burst out crying in front of me, which makes me cry. And that's pathetic, really, to be honest with you, because all I can do is walk away if someone starts crying in front of my paintings. But I won't say that I'm a horse whisperer. I'm tight-lipped, after all. But mostly I'm trying to just communicate on their behalf. Mm-hmm. So maybe, I don't know the English word for it, I should know because I speak English, but it's like a translator of emotion. I think we all are for the horse with our work in all our different styles. I think that's how we are, not horse whisperers, but horse translators, putting forward that emotion from the horse onto canvas so that normal people or the viewer can see what we feel and what the horse, you know, that kind of emotion. Yeah. That's what I think anyway, so...
Beautiful, beautiful, because it expresses exactly what I thought. It's such an intuitive animal, and you can't miss that when you are going into painting, isn't it, Mireille?
No, you really can't. And I just agree, like 300% with Karen and with Tony, because that's exactly it. They are very communicative. They're very honest, brutally honest, as in, you know, mirroring your behavior back to you. I've experienced it numerous of times. Sometimes it's not even very pleasant because they are that brutally honest. But it also explains why people find their peace with them and can, you know, handle their emotions better when dealing with horses. Horses have this huge energy field. They have, you know, anatomically a very huge heart. And it brings you some sort of comfort to just hug them. it's something that just happens with you as a person. And horses have done this for humans for so long. And just painting that and getting to know the horses, that's why it's really lovely. For me, I feel like I deal with horses every day because when, of course, some people order a painting or commission, you want to try to meet the horse because I am interested in that personality and what they are like. And I love to hear the stories about them and what they've done and where they came from and what happened. And they all have their different stories. They're so unique. And it just helps you understand what you want to convey onto the painting even more. And it's like Tony said, and Karen as well, that some people just look at your paintings and it just invokes some sort of emotion. And you can't really explain it, but just because we want to show that personality and that connection and the way that they are, they really are by nature. And even that gets more apparent when you visit older horses as well. You know, horses who don't have to work anymore, who are not in service anymore. Those characters really, really shine through. And that's just a really unique experience to have, to walk amongst them. Yeah.
The old wisdom.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. They are so unique. And they make their own choices if they want to connect with you. And sometimes you really want to connect with a horse and the horse decides it's not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. I agree with Tony as well about that subconscious like connection and that they have with each other as well. And that's something you really want to show people, even people who are not horse fans. This is not for us just to show horse people. We want to create art with horses as our subject.
Yeah.
And it, you know, the most, one of the loveliest compliments is to get is when people say like, I'm not a horse person, but I really love this.
Yeah, and I can imagine that. Yeah.
So that's when you know you've done a good job.
Yeah, that's always the most important thing. Yeah, and has painting horses, and it is seen as the noblest of animals, also become a means to raise awareness about the planet and its nature and how we are all one and need to be the stewards of Mother Earth. Karen, you should know you live and lived so close to Mother Earth.
Yeah, I think it. I think this is something that's becoming more and more into the everyday consciousness and awareness, and it's something I think of the last few years. Particularly, I see people starting to crave that connection with nature and just that connection back to the earth. So horses do it. You know, they're just part of it. They live in the seasons. They understand the seasons. They understand the day. You know, they might live outside in a community together, in a herd together, and they have their own little rotational structure to their day. And they come in the afternoon. My favorite time is they come in under their favorite tree and they just loaf about for an hour or two. And you never know what gives them the signal. One will move off and the rest just follow. And, you know, they have this this way of being, I guess, with nature. And, you know, sometimes I go to the gate and I feel like almost knocking, that it's like I'm coming into this space that they know and they hold so well. Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. Joyce. Many people love horses. But it seems relatively niche in the art world. Why do you think that is?
Gosh, that's a difficult question, to be honest, because I don't consider it to be a niche. I did do for a long time, and in the last couple of years, it's been more and more apparent that horses capture many of artists' inspiration or imagination. So I see more modern artists use the horse as a subject. So just, I don't know, to still say it's a niche, I don't know, you probably Tony would be, would you consider it still be a niche?
I was actually thinking about that during the week as well, because we have a degree reunion next year. It's 25 years since we've done our degree in art, and we're having an exhibition of the artists that are still working away. And I was looking at it, and I've been doing horse art since college, and some of the other artists are doing their arty-arty stuff. Like, you know, they'd consider themselves real artists, whereas I think I'm not looked down upon as such, but a lower tier in the hierarchy of artists, because I'm not doing, you know, more their type of arty-arty stuff. What I'm doing is like, is it like a cultural disconnect with what we're doing, because we're horses and we're seen as more entrepreneurs than artists. But I don't know, maybe the shifting artistic priorities at the moment, that the more we get out, the more it seems like, it's like Morel was saying, people that don't like art, the best compliment, or don't like horses, the best compliment they can pay you is, I love that painting. Like, you know, and that's becoming more and more visible these days. But I do think we're niche in one way, because there is that cultural disconnect with people who don't have horses. And like, we have our captive audience. So we know who loves horses, and we can do that. And we're looked at as upon traditional art, like still lives or pretty pictures and stuff like that. We're not really breaking new, well, some artists are breaking ground and stuff like that when it comes to it. In the hierarchy of art, it doesn't really matter, because we're doing what we love. Mm-hmm. And we're just doing it anyway. And even if you never sold a painting, you'd do it. If someone offered me €1 million in the morning never to pick up a paintbrush and draw a horse again, I'd have to say no. Because I would, as miserable as I am now, which is, as a man, I'm very miserable and grumpy, I'd be even worse if I couldn't paint or draw mm-hmm. horses. And if mm-hmm. In a niche way, that there's just so many of us that we can be super good and concentrate on what we do and be the best at what we do. It's not oversaturated with equine art everywhere, and we can be the best at what we are. So I like being in a niche market as such. Like, you know, I like being able to do what other artists cannot do. So more of that, I say. Smaller the club, the better.
Yeah, I think I agree. I agree. It's an amazing place to be. You do not have to swim in the Red Sea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah. How is that for you, Karen, in Australia?
I think I can agree with everything that's been said. It's interesting, because I think art, horses have been in art for centuries. Just, mm-hmm. you know, it was when people could afford to commission, you know, the very wealthy people in the past, then they often were painted with their horse, or, you know, that sort of thing, war horses. I think horses have been there recording a lot of history for humanity through the years, and horse artists. And I do think, because of their beauty, because of their structure, because sometimes they are difficult to paint, I do see from time to time, you know, a more generalist artist, and you'll suddenly see a horse pop up in their portfolio, and there'll be two or three horses, and then they're all back to the portraiture or whatever it is. But it's sort of like something that everyone wants to have a go at some point, I think, whatever their style is, or whatever that people will have a go at painting a horse. And for me, like Tony, I think I enjoy, because it's my passion with the mm-hmm. horses, so I enjoy that it just stays as a niche, and that's what I do. And I'm not apologetic about it anymore.
Mm. Oh, that's great. Never be apologetic about your passion. Mm. No one. You shouldn't. No, and you, Mireille, how is that for you in the Netherlands?
I think probably maybe Ireland and England are a little bit more equine art orientated than the Netherlands, personally, I find. And I can totally agree with what Tony and Karen are saying as well. But I feel that because of people like Joyce, for example, who's chosen to show like the art world as well and the public that horses have been a subject of art for centuries and have actually had a very prominent role before photography and before the cars, you know, vehicles were in motorized vehicles were invented. They have been such a huge part of our past, and they've been portrayed, and they were like this statement of wealth back then. And ever since, you know, it kind of, for me, as when I was younger, it felt like I'm just doodling horses, and that's how people talk about it. But I also had a lot of people saying, is there any money in that?
Oh, gosh, yeah. But that's in art in general. I hear that also.
You all get those remarks. Yeah. But then when you take yourself seriously as an horse, as an artist who... Yeah. I always say I'm not a horsey artist. I'm an artist who chooses to have equines as my main subject. It doesn't mean that I'm confined to it. It means that I choose to do this, and I want to create art with horses. I don't want to make horsey portraits. So
that's a significant difference, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. And of course, there's a market for everyone. And there are people who are just, you know, they're content with, you know, horsey drawings and stuff. It's fine. Everything is all right. But I make a very conscious choice, like Karen and like Tony, to be a professional artist who wants to show that horses in art is real art. We are creating, you know, craftsmanship. And I think that bringing craftsmanship back into art world, as Joni said, like there are artists in this world, like I make real arty art.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's entertainment, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's kind of, and that's where I find the Dutch market sometimes a bit difficult, because in the professional terms, you would say I do figurative realism. Mm. And in not many galleries in the Netherlands are specialized in figurative realism. And if they are, they have quite a different view onto what is taste or what is you know, viewed as popular at the moment. Yeah. It's definitely not my work. No. So for me, you know, having Joyce as a curator and working with equine artists is an absolute joy and a huge plus for us all.
Yeah, amazing. Joyce, you get the table. I'm going to ask you about curating. So some people, also artists and art historians, think that throwing together a show is just hanging paintings, which I know it's not. So Joyce, I have a few questions for you. Enlighten us about curating. You have brought together the finest here at the table. So what does curating entail? Who is participating and why? And what is the fair that is happening soon exactly? Can you enlighten us?
I'll definitely try. It's such a good question. What is curating? Because for me, curating is not just about hanging paintings. For me, it's about concept, context, and the connection. Traditionally, curators were, of course, seen as the caretakers of museum collections, people responsible for research, conservation, presentation. But over time, curating is really evolved, I have to say, into a creative discipline mm-hmm. of its own, which suits me really well, I have to say. I can, all the things that I excel at or love or my passion comes together in this role. Curating today is about developing concepts, selecting artists, selecting works, see what works together, see what doesn't work together, and designing an exhibition, designing how it unfolds, how visitors move through it, and that connection between the viewer, what they see, the story, but also the connection between the artist and the viewer, one that is just as important. At its heart, curating is storytelling and creating the dialogue between the artworks, the dialogue between the space, the audience, and asking why certain pieces belong together and why certain pieces don't belong together. The experience, I think.
Yeah, and you're
long answer.
No, that's great.
Okay,
give me more. So and to get back, yeah. So you brought together the finest at the table. So who is participating when you create an art fair, like when you have in a beautiful old place in Amsterdam?
Yeah,
who is participating and why? And what exactly is the fair about?
What exactly is the Dutch Equine Art Fair?
Yes.
The Dutch Equine Art Fair was initiated by museum directors Elsbeth Bos and Vincent Falk, who wanted to give art around the theme of horses, so not the niche, but the theme of horses, a larger platform within this historic setting of the Hollandse Manege. This year marks the third edition of the Dutch Equine Art Fair, which I have the pleasure of curating, absolute honour. Takes place, as said, in the Hollandse Manege in Amsterdam, which is also the oldest riding school in the Netherlands and home of the Living Horse Museum. Museum is truly a unique place. I don't know if you ever had a chance to visit this absolute gem.
I did, but not when it was a museum. It was when the horses were still riding there. And
the horses are still there. It's that's the absolute bonus, I think, if you visit the museum about horses, that you have a chance to see the horses as well. Visit the stables, maybe visit the carousel that they have the demonstration, side saddle. Carousel. So it's a magnificent place, and I think the best setting for something like the Dutch Equine Art Fair, where the horse is the absolute center of attention. There's no better place to have it at the Living Horse Museum in Amsterdam. And it also makes it very interesting to visit, because not just the architecture and the history of the place, but it's also in like the magical circle of museum in Amsterdam. So you're only a few steps away from the Van Gogh Museum, the Rijksmuseum, but also the Vondelpark. So it truly is a magnificent setting. And what is the Dutch Equine Art Fair? It's a stage for equine artists. And when we started this 3 years ago, it was a bit of a let's see what happens the first year. This has been a long standing wish of the museum directors, Elsbeth and Vincent, to give this space another meaning as well. We opened our open call and the applications came from all around the world. Not just the Netherlands or Belgium, Germany, which we sort of expected. We had people from America, Spain, and each year this fair has grown a little. That was also the plan, to not just open the the gates and see what happens. So we did this consciously, difficult word to pronounce, consciously, to grow, to get the message across, to make sure that the quality is absolutely outstanding. And I think this year we're going to experience our best edition yet. So in November, 6th to the 9th of November, we're going to open the doors for 31 equine artists from 13 countries. And these three people here today at your table are going to be there.
Yeah,
as well.
Amazing. Yeah. And I will be there on the 7th.
Yeah.
I will visit. I want to see your art in person. Absolutely. There's nothing better than see art in person. So
yeah, and I think if I can be so bold to add to that, Karin, not just see the art in person, but also to have that connection with the artist. Yeah. Every artist who is exhibiting is going to be there in person, which gives the viewer a chance to meet Tony, to meet Mirella, to meet Karin, and the others, and to start the conversation. Why this? Why that? Tell me more. Because I think, you know, looking at art online or through your little telephone screen, it's something else to witness it in person.
In real life, in person. Yeah. Absolutely. And, I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the fair, just to add to that as well, not just meeting the artist, but we're also going to have live demonstrations of Stuart Blocker, who's an artist who's going to be live painting. We're going to do curated tours every day at 12. And there I can tell everyone a little bit more about what we're seeing. So
wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine that. And you are all part of this Equinart Fair in November. What does it mean to you as an artist to participate in such an event? Karin, you come from Australia. This must be a long journey for you. So what does it mean to you?
Yes, I am psyching up for that journey again. Unfortunately, Australia is like an island and it's 24 hours for us to get anywhere decent, really. For me, though, it's just this amazing opportunity. I'm really grateful for the opportunity. I went last year and I've spent all this year painting and preparing to put my application in to go back again, because I think it's quite extraordinary. It's as Joyce described, this amazing building with all its history, and then to watch it transform into an art exhibition for that period of time is something else. And Joyce does it so well. And this curation is... You know, she has many, Joyce manages to pick the best with many styles. So it's like there's something for everybody there, I feel. So for me to have my work on that platform, you know, I'm just very happy about it.
Oh, amazing. And you, Tony?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Joyce and the museum for allowing me to be part of the exhibition. As an artist, as all artists, we're all kind of solitary creatures. We just live in our studio and emerge to get coffee and a brief fleeting of sunlight if it comes out. So unless we're part of an exhibition or part of a show, which we're generally standing by ourselves amongst other people, we don't really get out. So this is a great opportunity, I find, to be with like-minded individuals who are on a similar subject matter and who also have not been let out for ages. So it's going to be quite fun to see. So I just think, yeah, it's going to be an interesting dynamic. Just a whole bunch of artists, you know, crowded in going, oh, my God, what's going to happen? But it's going to be fun. I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm going to drive over from the Emerald Isle. So that's going to be great crack if I don't get a speeding ticket or pulled over on the way in. So it should be fun. I'm very much looking forward to it. So, it's an honor to be part of it amongst esteemed artists and peers.
Yeah, wonderful. And you, Mireille, you do not have to travel that long, but Yeah. How do you feel about it?
Well, for me, this is the third time. Mm-hmm. So I've been there for the first and the second as well. And for me, it's looking forward to every time that the date is set, because to me, it's something to look forward to. It's one of the highlights of my year as an equine artist. To be able to have such an opportunity, like Tony and Karen said as well, in such a place, in the building, and then we have to note that this is in the heart of Amsterdam. The opportunity to be there with what we do, whereas there are not many opportunities for us to shine, especially with our subject, in that space, the way that it's being curated and designed, the quality is so high that I just, you know, I leap at it. I'm just so looking forward to it. I'm having participated two times already and have met Karen in person last year. As an artist, I just look so forward to meeting my colleagues who have been throughout the year. We keep in touch and then now get to meet each other, talk to each other, recognize all the things that we have to deal with and what we're trying to do. And then also meeting the public. I just can't express how much joy. It's just so joyful and so fun. And it's a really important thing to do when you're a professional, to have that being part of your resume, of your career, of you need to get out there. I mean, if you want to be a professional, you will have to show your work. You will have to represent your work. It's, you know, we all want to just be hermits and just stay indoors and just create beautiful things. But when you choose to be a professional, let's be honest, we have to be entrepreneurs as well. We have to be social media creators as well. We have to take on so many more roles than we probably wish. And then, you know, having something like this that is that specific and well tailored to what we do and what we want to show, and it being taken care of such a high level, that's just unique and very unique to the Netherlands. Let us, you know, let me be clear. So I jump at this opportunity because this is one of the few ways for me as an artist and my colleagues to shine in what we do. So for me, this is just marked in my calendar. Like, this is what I need to do every year. I want to be there. If I'm allowed to be there, then I'm going to be there. And I'm just really, really looking forward to it.
Amazing. Sounds amazing. And I am looking forward to meet all four of you in real life and talk and have, enjoy your art. So, Joyce, where can people find Paard Verzameld? Website and social. Just mention it because then I can put it in the show notes.
What can be found on our website is online, of course, social media. If you look for Paard Verzameld, you can find us. The Dutch Equine Art Fair also has their own social media, so have a look on there to see.
What's the handle?
Dutch Equine Art Fair _Amsterdam.
Okay.
Tickets are available online, also at the door on the day. We would love to see you, Karin. Come and have a high tea and watch the art fair from the balcony. Meet the horses, meet the artists, and have a great day. And if you're done looking at equine art, skip over to the Rijksmuseum or the Van Gogh Museum.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah.
And Tony. Equine art there.
Yeah. Where can people find you? Your website, your social handle.
Sorry, are you talking to me, Karin?
Yeah.
Sorry. Tony_O'Connor on Insta. whitetreestudio.ie is my website. Trust me, I'm on the socials. You'll find me. Just look for the big guy.
And Karen?
Yes, same. So Karen Osborne Art website and Instagram, same handle. So.
Oh, that's convenient. And Mireille?
Oh, not actually Mirelle, but...
Oh, pardon, Mirelle.
Well, on Instagram, it's just Mirelle_Vegers. And if you Google my name, you'll just get too much. And the website is mirellevegers.com. And then I have Mirelle Vegers Equine Artist on Facebook. So it's hard to miss, really. Just if our names will be in the show notes, if you Google us, you will find us.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I want to thank you all so much for joining me on this historical episode. The first time that I have so many people who are amazing artists and equine art. And of course, Joyce, thank you so much because you curated this show also. So thank you. Well,
thank you very much for inviting me again, Karin. So it's been a pleasure.
It was my pleasure too. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
I wish you a very peaceful and productive week. And remember, art is the cradle of your soul. Take care.